That music means it's time for me to speak, and hopefully time for you to listen. Well, you are. Thanks for being there. It's 5:11. I'm Bob Surratt, and welcome to the world on Wednesday, the 29th of January. You know, when WGN hired me, they thought, oh, this will be great. Bob will take calls and texts and hear from listeners who will have questions, and then he will help get answers for them. But actually, it's the other way around. I have many questions that I need your help with. That's how it works here. So here is my question today. And I know everybody here, Steve in the newsroom, and Mary at Traffic Central there, and Andy's in for Dave on sports this morning. I know everybody knows more about this than I do. So let me just put the question out there. Recently, I had to switch from DirecTV to Comcast Infinity. Now, when I had DirecTV, sometimes I'd be watching a show, and then mid-show, I'd think, oh, you know what? I want to show this to my wife, or I want to save the show. So I'd hit record, and then the show would be saved from the beginning. Okay, so far, unless I'm doing something wrong, I can't do that with Comcast. Am I doing something wrong? Anybody know?
I think you're accurate. I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, I'm a DirecTV customer, and so I'm going to have to side with you. I know for a fact you can do it with DirecTV, but I don't know about Comcast.
Yeah, because I've tried it a couple times, and I'm not sure if it's for live TV or if it's an actual, like a movie. If you're, I mean, on demand, obviously you could just have it there, but
right.
I think if you're doing a TV show and you tune in at, you know, halfway through, I think you're going to get the last half of the show, and that's it.
Well, yeah. On Comcast, that happens. Yeah. But DirecTV, I remember I would hit record, and then it would give you the show from the beginning, even if you weren't watching it from the beginning.
Yeah, and when you sit down on DirecTV, and let's say you sit down 10 minutes into a show, you can actually hit the button and start at the beginning of it live.
Right.
Because it starts recording those shows, I think, at the beginning.
Yeah. Maybe there's some Comcast Infinity feature that I'm not taking advantage of. I don't know.
Yeah, I switched to AT&T, so I don't know.
Well, if you find the answer, let me know, too, because I'd like to know that.
Okay. That's why we're here.
Yes, thank you.
One of our listeners, I'm sure, has the answer to this.
And do they have Marquee
yet? They always do. No, that's a whole other show.
Yep.
Huh? If you want to get in touch with us, the phone number and the text number is the same, 312-981-7200. Email bobshow@wgnradio.com. Thanks for the text from 773 and also 815. In order to record the whole show, you must hit info, then click the restart button to start the show from the beginning, and then hit record. All right, I'll try that. Hit info, then restart. Okay. See if I remember that. It's almost 5:19, and we'll get to our first caller, give something away here momentarily. We're going to talk to Courtney Guzman over at Channel 9 in a few seconds, I hope. Is Courtney with us yet? Oh, she is. Okay. Is that her on line 9? Thank you. And good morning, Courtney. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bob. I'm here. Good. How are you?
I'm okay. And we're anxiously awaiting more updates on the coronavirus. What's the latest?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So things are really updating in Chicago when it comes to coronavirus. So now, you know, last week we found out that we now have one confirmed patient here in Chicagoland with coronavirus. A person is now being housed at St. Alexius Medical Center in Hoffman Estates. We know it was a woman in her 60s. She had traveled to Wuhan, China to take care of her dad. She was there in December, came back in early January, and then was actually confirmed to have coronavirus last week. So now we're learning that DuPage County health officials have reached out to several individuals and making contact with folks out here in DuPage County to let them know that they may have been exposed to coronavirus as a result of this 60-year-old woman who is now at St. Alexius. So many people have been already contacted, and there are others that still need to be contacted. But the DuPage County Health System or the DuPage County Medical Health Department is now saying that they are doing this out of an abundance of caution just to make sure that those who may have been in contact with this woman are okay. Also, we're learning today in Porter County, Indiana, there's another patient is being isolated at a hospital there suspected of having coronavirus. And so now we know health officials in Porter County, the state of Indiana, and the CDC, they're all working together awaiting test results to confirm a possible diagnosis there. And in the meantime, health screenings still taking place at O'Hare, but a number of airlines like British Airways, Lion Air, and Seoul Air, they're all announcing today that they've suspended flights in and out of mainland China. United Airlines saying that they are suspending flights starting on the 1st, running through the 8th, to Beijing, Hong Kong, and Shanghai as a result of this virus. They're citing a significant decline in demand. So we're still waiting to hear from the Trump administration as to whether or not they plan to suspend all flights to and from China. That's another thing. And those numbers keep growing in China right now. The number of cases are sitting right around 6,000. That jumped about 30% since yesterday. And already of those cases, at least 132 people have died. So this is a very serious and deadly virus. And it's in our backyard. It's right here. Mm-hmm. And health officials are really trying to do all that they can to make sure it doesn't spread and stick in even more people here in the States, especially in our area.
Yeah, those numbers woke me up yesterday when I heard 6,000 cases and 132 people had died. And most of the experts say it will probably get worse before it gets better.
Yes, and another thing to note, it's hard to tell because the symptoms seem very common. So we're talking about coughing, fever, and even shortness of breath. But it's my understanding these symptoms can be long and ongoing. And if you suspect anything serious, you should go to the hospital and get checked out. And that's why health officials in Indiana and DuPage County, even Cook County, they're all working together to try to trace back the steps of these individuals the one patient has been confirmed and then another patient who we're now waiting to see if, in fact, they do have coronavirus.
There's your update from WGN-TV News. Courtney Guzman, thank you, Courtney. Will you see Lauren Jiggetts today?
You know what? I rarely run into her because I'm always out and about and she's in the studio. But what, you got a message for her? You want to pass it along? What's going on?
Yes, ask her if she misses me.
Uh-oh, what's that about?
Well, we were at Channel 5 at the same time. She was, the up-and-coming star, and I was just the guy, running around the newsroom, going on TV
But
say hello for me and ask her how her dad's doing and give her my best, will you?
I will pass along that message for sure.
Yeah, she's amazing. I mean, she's a smarty pants, isn't she?
Oh yeah. You can tell that by watching her Twitter account.
Right. Well, you have a good day, Courtney.
You too, Bob. Take care.
You too. 5:24 right now. And let's talk to Bill out there in Streamwood. You're the first caller on the radio today. Congratulations. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bob. I like your show.
Oh, thank you. I like you. What do you do for a living, Bill?
I'm retired. I worked for the post office for 34 years.
Whereabouts? In Chicago?
On Des Plaines.
You know, I'll tell you something, and I know this is probably just me because I'm a simpleton, but I'm still one of those people who I'm amazed that you can drop a letter in the mailbox and it gets to where it's going usually flawlessly. I still don't understand exactly how that works.
I know. I never really had any piece of mail lost that I sent out. So it is amazing.
And so how do you spend most of your time now, Bill?
I'm retired, and I get to go to the dentist today. So,
oh boy, big day for you, huh?
Yeah.
And you'll be pleasantly numb a little later today. Well, we'll get you to the Tinley Park Golf Show, Bill. We'll give you a pair of tickets for being the first caller. That Tinley Park Golf Show is February 7 through 9 at the Tinley Park Convention Center. You can browse aisles of newly released equipment and apparel from Chicagoland's top retailers. Get info at tinleyparkconventioncenter.net. So we'll get you out there. And were you delivering mail, or were you working in the Des Plaines Post Office?
A clerk inside.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. I'm happy to report that we haven't heard about any disturbances in post offices lately. That used to be the joke, but I think everything's calmed down in there.
Yeah, Bob, I'm not really a golfer because I used to make them. years ago.
You used to make...
Is there anything else?
You used to make what?
Golf clubs.
Really? And you don't play golf?
Yeah. No. I watch it, but that's about it.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Can we give Bill another prize? Yeah, why not?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right, you know what we'll do, Bill? Hang on, and our people will get you something else.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
And then we'll send you those tickets anyway, so you can give them to a friend. All right. Good luck in retirement, Bill, and at the dentist. Appreciate you listening and calling this morning.
Thanks, Bob. I like your show.
Oh, I like you. 526. Thank you. And that's how we do that. Let's see what else is going on this morning. We'll have our top six stories at six that we think you should know about. That's coming up at about 6:18 this morning. And Karen Conti, attorney at law, joins us at around 6:48 or so this morning. We check in with her every week. She'll be talking a little bit about the legal fallout for the Kobe Bryant family. Interesting story. And also an update on the Harvey Weinstein trial. That'll be later on this morning. And what else we got? Extremely local news coming up on the broadcast today after 7, along with Terry Savage. And then Dean Richards is off today, but we've got somebody from Entertainment Tonight watching the entertainment world. And if you can't join us later in the day, as I know you've got things to do, a reminder that the show is put on a podcast. Is that what the kids say? So if you want to listen later and hear any of this, what we do after 9 o'clock is we'll load the program up at WGNradio.com, and you can listen that way. As we mentioned, Andy Mazur's here. Dave Bennett is, what's he doing? A basketball game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's in lovely East Lansing, Michigan for the next couple of days.
And let me ask you something, Andy, about the NBA All-Star Weekend. Do we know anything yet about how they're going to pay tribute to Kobe Bryant?
We don't. There's been some talk about uniforms and a lot of guys wearing 8 and 24, which I think would be appropriate, especially for an All-Star situation where you really don't, it doesn't really matter. I think fans know these guys just by face and by what they do anyway. But there hasn't been an official plan announced, but tell you what, the Bulls did a really nice job the other night when they played San Antonio. It's all class. I mean, and it's interesting just across the entire league and other leagues how the athlete kind of transcended his own sport and became this global icon.
Sure,
that has been unfortunately lost along with his daughter and seven others.
The NBA All-Star Game in Chicago in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, it's coming up, and it's been such a long time since the All-Star Game was in Chicago. I think the last one was at the stadium when Michael Jordan won the dunk contest. I think it was 88.
Festivities kick off Friday, February 14th at Wintrust Arena with a celebrity match, and then move to the United Center for the Rising Stars game, and then they have, let's see, a Saturday night event. A skills challenge, three-point slam dunk contests, and then the All-Star game will be on Sunday. And I see that 99% of us are out of luck here because tickets to the Saturday and Sunday events cost well over $1,000. The Rising Stars game, your best bet, those tickets start at $65 and usually does not sell out. So, you know, you're going to be hearing a lot about tickets around here very soon for that.
Yeah, it's a big event.
We'll keep you posted on everything. Already a problem, a traffic issue, and now serious there at Milwaukee and Tui. What's happening there now, Mary?
Yeah, there's reports that a car crashed into the underground parking garage in the Niles Police Department. So there was a fatal accident, and the investigation continues, closing down Milwaukee Avenue right at Hartz and Waukegan Road, right in between.
All right. Thanks for the notice on that. 538, the weather. This is crazy. Let's see. What is today? Yesterday was the sixth straight sunless day. Today will be number 7, and it's the 8th straight day with a high in the 30s. So I can't complain about that, right? The maximum temperature for Chicago has been between 33 and 37 for the past week. It's the first time since 2012 that January 22nd through the 28th has had a high temperature of 33 or better, and only the second time since 2000. This is the 17th time since 1873 that the high temperature for Chicago has been 33 or higher from the 22nd through the 28th of January. Who keeps track of all this? Tom Skilling, yes, probably, right?
I mean, that's the best part, at least. I know the sun's not out, but at least it's not that cold.
That's right.
Yeah, and I went running yesterday, and it was actually very nice.
I meant
low
to go
wind,
running. Yeah.
But it's so icy running. It's very dangerous out there.
I meant to go running for the past week. I meant to exercise for the past week. Since 1894, we are now tied for the fifth lowest percentage of possible sunshine in January for Chicago. There is a chance of sun. I like this now. A chance of sun on Saturday and Sunday. Even though there's supposed to be some rain and snow over the weekend, there is a chance that we'll see the sun on the first day of February.
And that used to be the S word. Snow used to be the S word. Now it's sun.
I know.
Chance of sun.
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah. I have to go running. I have to exercise. I have to do something when I get home today because I've been really bad about that. Usually I'll do something every day. I try to mix it up. Go running one day, maybe do a light weight workout another day, and sometimes I'll just do some push-ups and sit-ups. I've done nothing lately, so. But I've been eating. It's good eating weather.
I'm in that club. Yeah.
You can do it here in the building, too, Bob, at the fitness center. It's free.
I know. I have to do that one day. Except when I'm done here, I just like to go home.
Right. You want to get out of the building. Yeah.
nothing personal.
You don't want anybody following you out of the building either.
Nothing personal. But it's great for people who are here all day, because they get to take a break and go to a nice fitness center. I understand there's like a lounge here too, isn't there?
Yeah.
Is that on the top floor?
I think I see those signs. Yeah, I haven't ventured up to the top of this building.
Yeah, it's very nice. We're at 303 East Wacker, Bob Surratt Building here. We're on the 18th floor. I enjoy the fact that we're on 18 and all the managers and big bosses of the company are below us on 17. It's usually the other way around, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's almost 5:42 on Wednesday. This is Wednesday, isn't it? Yes. We talked to Orion Samuelson live, and I'm looking forward to chatting with Orion here in a couple of minutes because there were some stories in the past week that demanded his opinion, and I think they'll rile him up. I want to ask him about plant-based tuna, and also a new apple that's out there that I recently found. So we'll get to that when we talk to Orion in just a couple minutes, and he'll do the agribusiness update, as always, of course. Well, let's say good morning to Orion Samuelson and get the agribusiness report. Hi, Orion.
Well, good morning to you, and it sounds like another wintry day in the Midwest.
Yes, and I know you're in your space capsule hovering over Arizona at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, we are, and so far haven't seen snow, at least in the valley in Phoenix and Scottsdale, but in the northern part of the state, pretty good snowfall for Arizona as well. So we are getting some moisture, and here in the desert, we don't measure moisture by inches. We measure it by drops per square foot because they don't get very much. 8 inches of annual rainfall here in the desert, and that's not a lot of moisture.
Well, the ski resorts might be happy for spring skiers.
Yeah, very happy because they started skiing about a month ago in northern Arizona, and they've had pretty good snowfall.
And, Orion, as soon as you update us on agribiz, I have a couple of questions, and I need your opinion on a couple of food-related items in the news.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. You want to do your thing first, or should we just jump right into it?
Well, I can quickly update the overnight trade at the Chicago Board of Trade. We have wheat and corn trading lower, but not by much. Soybeans are trading higher. We're waiting for some activity on the buying side by China since we signed the Phase 1 agreement to January 15th, and traders so far have been disappointed that we haven't seen more purchasing by China as they indicated they would do in that agreement. So I guess we'll continue to wait, because every time I've gone to China, and I've been there 10 times, it's difficult to get information that's accurate and timely. And of course, the government pretty much controls the information that's released from that country. So it's always a question mark, but we hope they'll live up to the agreement they started. And we are getting ready to go into phase two of the China-U.S. trade agreement, but until we get some more buying activity, traders are going to be skeptical of how much China will actually do to live up to the agreement they signed. So we're waiting.
Okay. Now, first, I want to mention this Cosmic Crisp apple. Do you know anything about this? I bought it at the store the other day. It's supposedly a cross between Enterprise and Honeycrisp. And
right.
I really like this apple. Where did this come from?
Well, I think it originated in Iowa, if I recall, but it's relatively new. You know, we had the Granny Apple and still do have that, and then the Honeycrisp, and now we're coming up with some new varieties, because that's one thing about plant breeders, they keep working. And we lost one of the good plant breeders earlier this year when Herb Teichman of Tremendous Fruit Farm over in Eau Claire, Michigan, passed away. But he was doing a lot of work, and other orchardists are doing work to develop new varieties that'll taste even better and that will last longer in refrigeration. So plant technology is increasing all the time.
Yeah, that's what I liked about this Cosmic Crisp. It's slow to brown, and
right.
it tastes very, very sweet. So we highly recommend the Cosmic Crisp. Now, let me ask you about this story regarding plant-based tuna. This is tuna without the mercury, and actually fish burgers without the fish. General Foods Corp. Is involved in this plant-based seafood, and General Mills is involved in this venture as well. What do you know about this? And I can imagine that you do not approve of this, Orion.
Well, I don't know about fish production, because I eat very little fish, because I'm a pork and a steak man myself. But
of course you are.
Yes, and you know what? We're converting plant foods into meat substitutes, but animals have been doing that for decades and centuries. They'll turn the grass and they'll turn the vegetation into edible meat products. And yeah, that's where I stand on it. I mean, I'm glad we have the choice. And I'm glad that vegans have the choice to do what they want to. But one of the things that irritates me about it is labeling, because they put the meat substitute right in the meat counter. And my wife, who does the food shopping for us, she'll ring the bell and ask for the meat market manager and suggest that maybe the plant-based meat products should go in the produce department or the vegetable department rather than in the meat department, because it's not meat. And you know, I support growers of all plants and animals, but come on, let's be honest with the labeling when we do the, just like the beverage products. I don't call them almond milk or soy milk, because I never milked a soybean plant or an almond tree in my life. And I call them beverages, and they shouldn't be called milk. Shouldn't be put in the dairy case, really, because that's not proper labeling.
There you have the latest from the Orion Samuelson supermarket chain. And Good Catch is the name of this
Good Catch
seafood substitute, I guess we call it. Vegan products, some of the first seafood alternatives now to bubble up in the fast-growing plant-based foods sector. That's all you hear now is plant-based diet, right?
Well, not on my table, but it's, and the thing that, if you're a vegan, that's great. But the question I keep asking and don't get an answer, if you're a vegan, why do you want a product to look like meat and to smell like meat and to cook like meat? I don't understand that.
Because you have been told that it's healthier to avoid the red meat, which, but, and there are a lot of people now who say, no, not so fast.
Well, if you've taken a look at the list of ingredients in plant-based meats, you're getting a lot of ingredients I can't even pronounce, but they're
Yeah, that's what my wife. That's what my wife says that too. She says if you look at what's in the Impossible Burger, there are a lot of things in there that aren't good for you. You might be better off with the real thing. Just like you're probably better off having a real Coca-Cola than having the diet soda.
Well, yeah, that's true, and I hear that a lot from the nutrition people at Mayo's here in Arizona that I work with, and. So, yeah, very true. Take a close look at the label and make sure you know what you're getting. Because I've looked at the label on plant-based meats, and I can't even pronounce the ingredients. A lot of the ingredients have no idea what they are. But I'm glad people have a choice, and they're welcome to go ahead and enjoy what they want. You just won't find it on my dinner plate.
It's always a bad sign when you can't pronounce one of the ingredients. If you're just joining us this morning, this is the new format on WGN, Grocery News on the Threes. And, Orion, always good talking to you, sir.
Good talking to you, and stay dry and stay warm.
Yeah, well, that hasn't been the problem. The problem is sunshine, but we may get it this weekend. I don't know. But have fun out there out west in the desert.
Well, the big golf tournament starts, you know, coming up in a day or two, the Phoenix Open. That's always a crazy time here in the Valley because of the people who come in. They are expecting 700,000 people will attend the 4 days of the Phoenix Open. So, golfers, come on out.
And Orion will be at the airport handing out prime steaks to everybody who comes to town. Good luck with
you
that,
Orion. You got it.
Have a good day.
You too, Bob.
It's 5:54 right now. Saw a note here about the Super Bowl. A record 26 million Americans will wager on this game. Andy Mazur's here for Dave Bennett. Has the list come out yet? What do they call those crazy bets?
Prop bets.
Yeah, the prop bets. People betting on halftime show. And
length of the national anthem, over, under, who will score more points, a basketball player that day or the one team. Those are actually the fun ones because you never know. You know, last year's Super Bowl was so bad and so low scoring. I think a lot of people expected it to be higher scoring. And, you overthink a lot of things, because especially in my case, because I think I know stuff, which is probably the worst thing in the world to do as far as betting goes. But the prop bets are fun. I mean, at least you have a chance to, bet on will there be a two-point conversion in the game and who will be the first one to catch a pass.
Sure. 52% of people, according to this poll, say they will bet on the Chiefs. 48% will bet on the 49ers.
Okay, pretty split, yeah.
So we'll have a report from Miami. Let's see, Jared Payton is covering the Super Bowl for WGN-TV. We'll talk to him a little later on this morning. Right now, let's go to Steve Grzanich with the market outlook. Steve?
Bob, sponsored by Associated Bank, here are some of the things that could move the markets today. Wholesale inventories for December lead off today's economic reports. Experts are forecasting a 0.2% decline from November when the report is released later today. Also, pending home sales for December come out. A housing industry analyst expect to see a 0.3% increase over November and a 4.4% gain over December of 2018. The Federal Reserve announces its latest decision on interest rates at 1 o'clock Chicago time. The central bank has indicated the range of 1.5% to 1.75% will remain unchanged. So no interest rate change likely today from the Federal Reserve. Also today, a couple of big companies were reporting quarterly earnings, including AT&T, Chicago-based Boeing, Chicago-based McDonald's, GE, MasterCard, Facebook, Microsoft, PayPal, and Tesla. So plenty of things to move the markets on this Wednesday, January the 29th.
Good morning, and thanks for being with us at WGN. 10 after 6, I see where Bob Shane has passed away out in Phoenix at the age of 85. Who? Is that what you just said? Bob Shane. Do you remember Tom Dooley, Scotch and Soda? Bob Shane was the last surviving original member of the Kingston Trio, and they were huge back in the late 50s and early 60s,
And he sang lead on most of the Kingston Trio songs. He didn't just outlast the other original members, Dave Gard, who died in 91, and Nick Reynolds, who died in 2008. Bob Shane took ownership of the group's name and devoted his life to various incarnations of the trio that was founded in 1957. They spearheaded the big folk renaissance, and at its peak, which was right around 59, the group put four albums in the top 10 at the same time. More than any group of its time, the Kingston Trio captured the youthful optimism of the Kennedy years. The title song of a 1962 album was The New Frontier, echoing John F. Kennedy's own phrase and alluding to his inaugural address. That was the first album I ever bought. Do you remember the first album you ever bought? That was mine, The New Frontier. After retiring, Bob Shane lived in Phoenix in a home full of gold records and Kingston Trio memorabilia. Fond of cars and dirt bikes, he also collected Martin guitars and art. So Bob Shane, gone at the age of 85. This was my favorite Kingston Trio song and a big hit in the 60s. You remember Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Let's play a little bit of it here at 6:11 on WGN.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
Nice song from the Kingston Trio and lead singer Bob Shane. I remember at the height of the folk music craze, Art Roberts had a Sunday night show. I think it was called Hootenanny. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was big. The last member of the original Kingston Trio, Bob Shane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
This is what you should know. We do this at around 6:17 in the morning. First up, the impeachment trial continues. Starting around noon Chicago time, senators will have as many as 16 hours over 2 days to submit written questions that will be read aloud by Chief Justice Roberts. The session comes a day after Donald Trump's lawyers finished with an appeal to disregard the account by John Bolton, the former national security advisor, that undercuts the president's defense. Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, indicated yesterday he does not yet have the votes to block an expected push to call witnesses, which would require the support of at least four Republicans.
Now, page two.
British Airways, Lion Air, and Soul Air all announcing they are suspending all flights in and out of mainland China. United will be suspending flights connected to Beijing, Hong Kong, and Shanghai beginning February 1st. Chinese officials say at least 132 people have died from the virus. They raised the number of confirmed cases to 6,000. Governments and businesses around the world issued fresh travel warnings yesterday, leaving Americans discouraged from visiting China. U.S. officials said the screening of travelers from Wuhan would be expanded to 20 ports of entry.
Page three.
Three flight attendants are suing Chicago-based Boeing, claiming they were sickened by toxic air that seeped into the cabin due to a design flaw in some of the company's airplanes. The suit also alleges that the company has known about the design flaw but has failed to fix it and allegedly deceptively created the image that the air in its cabins is safe, according to the suit filed yesterday at the Circuit Court of Cook County. This makes you think again about how to stay healthy when you're flying. You know, much is made about the recirculated air, and I heard from several people in the industry that air is not as bad as you think. I don't know, but everybody agrees. Don't be touching the seat pocket that's in front of you, because Lord knows what people put in there. So be careful about that. And that may be more dangerous than the restrooms. That's what I'm hearing.
And how do you sanitize that? I mean, you can wipe down your seat and the armrest and the tray, but what do you do about that seat pocket?
Don't touch anything in there. Yeah, don't touch it. Be careful out there.
Page four.
Facebook unveiled a new tool yesterday that lets users see how much and what data about them other apps are sharing with the social media giant. The off-Facebook activity tool was announced in a company blog post written by founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg as a way to give users more control over their privacy. Isn't it getting very creepy how you can Google, like, shoe store near me, and then all of a sudden, 9 ads for shoes will come up on your feed?
Sometimes I feel like if I'm thinking about it, it
yeah.
shows up.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's yeah. pretty close to that now.
Don't it may concern.
Nike says that those Kobe Bryant sneakers and jerseys were not taken off their website. They deny the report that it pulled the merchandise to resellers. Pulled the merchandise because they wanted to prevent resellers from profiting off the tragedy. Nike dismissed the story, saying it's inaccurate. However, the Kobe Bryant sneakers and jerseys were sold out on its website. Did you hear anything about this, Andy?
Yeah, I was just talking about this with someone the other day. Yesterday, I think it was. But it seems like, obviously, after someone passes away, their stuff becomes more valuable, I guess. And it's mm-hmm. kind of a crass way and a morbid way of looking at it, but that's what a lot of people will do. Will go on there and try to get as much of that stuff as they possibly can.
But apparently that report yesterday was erroneous, according to Nike.
This is Chicago.
Yes, it is. Today marks a full week with no official sunshine in Chicago. Weather historians who keep track of this sort of thing and record sunshine data near Midway Airport on the south side have some numbers on this. Well, November through January are typically the cloudiest 3 months of the year. The current streak is rather impressive. The last time we had a dreary streak this long was 22 years ago, 1998, January the 2nd through the 8th. The month is slated to finish as one of our cloudiest on record. They say maybe some sunshine along with some rain and snow on the weekend. This is the eighth straight day with temperatures in the 30s, so that's not bad for January. Yesterday was the sixth straight sunless day, so we're going to get 7 at least. And since 1894, we're now tied for the fifth lowest percentage of possible sunshine in January for Chicago. So it's not just you. Everybody has got a minor or major case of the sads around yeah. here. So have some vitamin D. Try to put some light on your face, and good luck with that.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirott on WGN Radio.
Good day. 6:23. I meant to do this earlier. I wanted to update my broken windshield saga. So yesterday I decided to go to Safe Light. Everybody suggested I do that. And I had this little tiny, you know, dime-shaped spot on my windshield where a pebble or two pebbles hit me the other day. And so before it spread and got worse, I thought, let's see, maybe I can get this thing fixed. And I kid you not, I swear it's true. I kid, but I never lie. As I'm driving to the Safe Light, the crack starts spreading, and I see the lines start going up the windshield.
It's creepy.
Yeah, really. And by the time I got in there, they said, well, you know, the windshield has to be replaced. But I must say, I was impressed with them and their service and what they do there. I'd heard their commercials, like you, forever, yeah. but never really did business with them. And they explained how sometimes the dealers charge a lot of money for basically the same windshield you're going to get from them. So I decided to go that route.
That's a good route to go.
I know you're on edge waiting to hear how that would work out for me, but that's it. And thank you for all of your calls and texts yesterday that led me to do what I did. It's 6:24. What's the story on this? Is he a defensive back the Bears signed, Andy?
Yeah, he's from the Canadian Football League. He is an all-star for the Calgary Stampeders. He quarterbacked Illinois State when they came really, 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 really close to winning an FCS title. But the position that was determined he would be best at in the pros was defensive back. And apparently, if you believe what you read, he had 10 total NFL offers and chose the one from the Bears to come and sign with the Bears as a free agent from the CFL.
The other sports headline that caught my eye actually was a story in the Trib by Jamal Collier about how Kobe Bryant almost came to the Bulls a couple of times, apparently.
Yeah, they were they wined and dined him a couple of times. And apparently, at one point, he was he and his wife were actually looking for houses here in the Chicago area. That's how close it may have gotten. As it turns out, obviously, he spent his entire 20-year career with the Lakers after being drafted by the Hornets.
Yeah, John Paxson quoted here in this story, saying his last game here, he was coming from working out or lifting before the game, and Paxson caught his eye, said hello to him. He came over. Paxson said he gave me a hug, and he remembered our meeting. The Bulls reportedly tried to acquire Bryant in 2007 at the time he demanded a trade. Mm-hmm. And then before that, it was, I guess, was it 2004, I think.
2004, yeah.
Yeah, and right, they were looking at houses and schools, yes. So it was serious. And the trade eventually was called off after Shaq O'Neal requested a trade and was shipped to Miami. The Bulls never were successful in acquiring Bryant, but John Paxson, Bulls vice president of basketball operations now, always remembered the meeting fondly, especially in the aftermath of the tragedy. He said, "We were fortunate we were given that opportunity. I could tell he had an enormous amount of respect for Jerry Reinsdorf, Jerry's relationship with Michael, and the brand that the Bulls are. The things that always stand out to me," said Paxson, after that meeting, "first of all, were how smart of a person Kobe was. We knew how smart of a player he was and how mature he was even at that time."
Yeah, and a guy that didn't go to college because he was drafted right out of high school. And everything you hear about him, very, very savvy when it came to just everyday smarts. I mean, there's a lot of people that have basketball smarts, but you know, when it comes to normal social activities, they're a little bereft of that, but he was not. And, you know, I think that the key point that John Paxson brought up was the relationship that Jerry Reinsdorf had with Michael Jordan, because obviously Michael Jordan was the star of his day. And I think a guy that was the star of his day wanted to see if an organization would support that kind of a thing. And certainly the Bulls did for a long, long time.
I think there's something about traveling that is the best education one can get. And Kobe Bryant was sort of a citizen of the world starting at a very young age, right?
Yeah, because his dad was a basketball player, played in the NBA for a little bit, but also played internationally. And Kobe would be in schools in other countries and would then eventually move back to the United States.
Yeah, he was fluent in Italian, Spanish.
I thought I heard three or four languages that he actually knew pretty well at that time. So, I mean, you look at guys on the basketball court and you don't really... You think you know them, but you're basing your opinion solely on the way they play, how they perform. Maybe if you go to a game that day and they miss the game-winning jumper, you're on them. But you don't understand exactly where that guy came from and all the education that he got off the floor and just taking care of himself and learning how to kind of fend for himself, too.
Yeah, sure. And three big events coming up that will all feature Kobe Bryant tributes. You've got coming up the Super Bowl. Of course, that's this Sunday.
Right.
And then you've got the Oscars the next Sunday.
Correct.
Of course, he won an Academy Award for that documentary. And then, as we discussed earlier this morning, the NBA All-Star Game in Chicago, which will be huge. And then what's the story on the Hall of Fame, on the Basketball Hall of Fame? I mean, that's later.
Yeah, later. And, you know, it's kind of like the in Major League Baseball, where you have to wait a certain amount of time after you're retired to be elected. But it's happened before, where Roberto Clemente was in after he passed away. Kirby Puckett got in very, very quickly after that. And so there are exceptions to rules that will be made by the NBA, and I guarantee that this is going to be one that will be a no-brainer.
Yep. Coming up, what you should be eating for breakfast, or what you should be including in your breakfast or your snacks, maybe breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'll give you a little hint. Walnuts. We'll tell you why. And also, I want to talk about this show that was on PBS last night. I don't know if you saw this American Experience documentary that was tracing the roots of the FDA and the first U.S. consumer protection laws. This scared me. I forgot to talk to Orion about this, but we'll get into all of that after this. Did you see this documentary on PBS last night? I love their American Experience series, and they ran this program last night. Of course, I fell asleep before it was over. I hope they run it again. It's a program that traces the roots of the FDA and the first U.S. consumer protection laws. It's called the Poison Squad. Anybody see this? I mean, it's scary, and it's really great. I never heard any of this story. It's a documentary based on a book, and it debuted last night on American Experience. It tells the story of a little-known government chemist, Dr. Harvey Wiley, who, determined to banish dangerous substances from the American diet, took on the powerful food manufacturers and their allies in government. And apparently, he was working to expose the fact that they were putting copper sulfate, borax, formaldehyde in foods. It's crazy. If you get a chance to watch this American Experience Poison Squad, check it out. Here's something you need to include in your diet: walnuts. Apparently, this is the food to eat. This is the snack to have. Ever notice that a walnut looks just like the human brain? Says this report. It's more than a coincidence, considering one of the biggest benefits of walnuts nutrition is the ability to support your most important organ, the brain. Walnuts are scientifically proven to be a true brain food, one of the healthiest nuts around. And there is a recent study on this all about the health benefits of walnuts, and it's quite a list. Walnuts nutrition contains vitamin A, C, E, K, niacin, and calcium, potassium, and omega-3. Eating more walnuts as part of a healing diet can help close the gap and potentially prevent disease development. For example, walnuts' nutrition benefits were praised in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease as providing a significant improvement in memory, learning ability, anxiety, and motor development compared to the controlled diets without walnuts. And in addition to omega-3s, walnuts nutrition provides many other noteworthy nutrients, some of the ones I just listed. Have some walnuts in your bag?
I don't.
I don't like walnuts. Some.
Yeah, I never enjoyed the walnuts.
Start liking them, Andy, Mary. Yes. Yeah.
I like all other nuts, but walnuts, it's kind of big. I don't like them.
Well, listen to this. Top 7 benefits of walnuts: may help fight depression, helps improve brain health and preserve memory, aids heart health, supports the immune system, may help prevent cancer, makes a filling snack and supports weight loss, improves reproductive health and aids in growth and development, and it's a great way to increase children's omega-3 intake. I'm
too
convinced.
Too bad a lot of people are allergic to them.
I know.
You know,
how come when we were kids, nobody was allergic to nuts? Or maybe they were, we just didn't know why they were sick.
My brother was. He was severely allergic when I was growing up. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I got all his Snickers. That was the greatest thing at Halloween.
I'm going to ask my wife to pack some walnuts for me in the morning. Maybe then I'll remember how to do the show. Let's say hello to Karen Conte, attorney at Conte Law. Hi, Karen.
Good morning, Bob.
Let's talk first about the Kobe Bryant tragedy and some of the legal fallout. What do we expect here?
Well, obviously, there's an investigation going on. The NTSB is doing an investigation with the FAA, and I guess the FBI is also involved. So they do a very thorough job. They're going to look at everything from literally what the pilot did the night before, his history. They're going to be looking at what the air traffic controllers did, the plane itself, the maintenance, the history of the plane's maintenance, and trying to determine, what was at fault here? What happened? Was this a situation where they went out in the wrong weather? Was this something that the air traffic controllers misguided them? Was it a pilot error? What happened? And after this investigation is over, there'll be a preliminary report. And, of course, the lawyers for the insurance companies and the plaintiff's lawyers, who are going to be representing the 9 people who are dead, are going to come in and also do their own investigation. Because, listen, there's 9 people who are dead. There's probably not enough insurance here to cover all of the losses from a legal standpoint. So they're just going to try to find, the deep pockets to get these people compensated.
Can anything happen legally until the NTSB comes up with their final report? No, there will be a preliminary report, I think, in the next week or so, probably. But as we've heard, sometimes it takes a year or more for the final review.
Right. That's right. And yes, lawsuits will be filed before all of this is over. And a lot of times they file the lawsuits just to preserve their claims. And they also want to make sure that they have a right to preserve whatever materials there are. They don't want anything to be destroyed or damaged because they're going to want to do their own investigation here. So, yeah, I bet the lawsuits will be filed soon. We'll see them filed. And they'll just have to wait in line to see who's at fault. And, you know, when you go up in a helicopter, you're not supposed to crash. So they are going to be compensated. The question is, who is going to be the one who's deemed to be liable?
Well, let's move on to the Harvey Weinstein trial. What's next? What's going to happen today?
Well, they have testimony from these witnesses who are testifying about what we call prior bad acts, and these are the rapes and the assaults that were that Harvey Weinstein allegedly did in the past to show that he has a propensity to do that in the cases that he's charged in. And that's really compelling evidence, because it's one thing to say, I went into a room and Harvey Weinstein raped me, and the allegations are going to be, well, you knew what you were getting into and this was consensual. But when you have other people from other years who had the same thing happen, it is very compelling testimony, and that's what we're probably going to see more of today.
You know, we're seeing the video of Harvey Weinstein walking into the courtroom with that walker, and more than one person thinks, well, this is for show, this is for sympathy. What do you think?
I see it all the time. I feel like the defendant should get a new shtick. Because,
yeah,
you know, we saw Bill Cosby do the same thing. You know, I know he has problems with his eyes, but, you know, he was holding on to his lawyers and had a cane. And, I mean, we saw that with Dennis Hastert when he was charged, coming in a wheelchair. I mean, it goes on and on. So, you know, I don't know if that's supposed to make him look like a weak man, that he doesn't have the strength to have done all these things. I just think that jurors are smarter than that, and so is the press.
But the jurors really don't see that, do they? Well, actually, they're not supposed to. I mean, if they watch television news, they're going to see it. But they're inside the courtroom when he's coming in. But, are they instructed not to watch any news?
They are instructed not to watch any news, but you can bet they probably have seen something like this. And, you know, he does go in and out. I mean, there are breaks, and he probably gets up and walks a little bit. So I'm sure the jurors get to see him amble about. And nothing's lost on that. You know, I think jurors are smarter than that. And I would really, as a defense lawyer, not try that ploy. I think that's it's a little bit overkill.
Yeah, it could backfire, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about Kim Fox and the criticism that she's been getting lately. What's the latest on this?
Well, they're talking about her now taking the Fifth Amendment. As we know, there is a special investigation going on. Dan Webb, who's one of our better attorneys in the nation, has been tasked with doing an investigation to determine what happened here. Did Kim Fox's office do something wrong in dropping the charges? Whether she recused herself, should she have recused herself to another state's attorney rather than keeping it in that office? All those things are being investigated right now. And at some point, she's going to be interviewed. I would imagine that Dan Webb is going to want to sit down with her and ask her questions under oath about what happened and what led up to the charges being dropped. And there's talk that she might take the Fifth. And the Fifth Amendment is something that you can't take. It's a right not to incriminate yourself. And you can take it in a deposition, a grand jury hearing, and even in an investigation like this. It would be political suicide for her to do that, because she's running for office as our top prosecutor in the county. And if she took the Fifth, I think people would not like the fact that she did that.
Back to the Kobe Bryant tragedy for a second. I meant to ask you this, and I was reminded by a texter from 847. Please ask Karen why the FBI is involved in the Kobe crash. Do you know anything about that? I was struck by that, too, when I heard
that. Yeah, you know, it surprised me just a little bit, but I did look into that, and apparently the FBI does, on occasion, get involved in these things. You know, I don't think they're heavily involved because that's not their forte. But no, I don't have a real good reason, but I do know that on occasion they do, and you know, I know that in international crashes, the FBI is involved just because in case there's some sort of terrorism or some sort of allegation that there was something intentional. I think that's probably the reason that they're in the wings here.
Karen Conti, Conti Law, what do you have planned for us on the radio show this Sunday night? Karen's on WGN from 7 to 9 p.m. Sunday evenings. What's coming up this weekend,
you know,
Karen?
Bob, I really don't know because it's the Super Bowl, of course.
Oh, right. So, yes, there is that little football game, isn't there?
So I might just be talking to myself, but that's fine because I can do that.
You know, I think that's how Kathy and Judy started at this radio station. They figured, well, let's put something on the radio when the Super Bowl's on for people who don't care about the game, are not football fans, and that show was born that way. So you might be able to come up with something interesting Sunday night.
Well, I better start thinking, so I'll do that.
I'm sure you will. Karen Conti, we'll check
Take
in with
care.
You again next week. Thank you very much. Coming up, we'll get our extremely local news report of the day. We check in with the Block Club Chicago folks every morning, and we'll do that coming up at about 7:18 today. By the way, Andy, we did get the list of those Super Bowl bets that everybody talks about every year, the prop bets.
They're great.
Yeah, there's some good ones this year. We'll go over this over the next few days, but just looking at the list here, let's see, you know, things like, will Fox show the Golden Gate Bridge?
Uh-huh.
Of course they will.
Okay.
Let's see, will Joe Buck or Troy Aikman say underdog in reference to the odds? These are so silly, aren't
yeah.
they? I mean, will Betty White be in the Snickers commercial?
Ooh.
Yeah, people actually bet on these things, don't they?
Yeah, they bet, and they even bet on the color of the Gatorade that will be poured on the winning coach.
Yeah, where was that story on how many people bet? A record 26 million Americans will wager on the Super Bowl. 52% say they'll bet on the Chiefs. 48% will bet on the 49ers. Approximately 3 million more American adults say they will wager on this year's Super Bowl than last year. There is a lot of interest because everybody's expecting a great game.
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough one for Bears fans to watch because obviously Patrick Mahomes is out there and Robbie Gould will be kicking the field goals for the 49ers. There's just a lot of stuff going on there that you just kind of go, okay, give me the prop bet so I can at least enjoy the game.
Exactly. We'll get to the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Bob Surratt on the road with you. Thanks for starting your day with us on this Wednesday morning, January 29th. Happy birthday, Oprah. She's 66 today. However, banks will be open, mail will be delivered, and you do have to feed the parking meter boxes, in case you were wondering. And other birthdays today, Tom Selleck is 75. And Adam Lambert is 38. I have suits older than that. It's 10 after 7. We might be seeing those electric scooters around the city again soon. This summer, in fact, there's going to be a second test run after a four-month pilot program provided more than 800,000 trips, but did raise safety, parking, and equity concerns. The city says this all needs further study in different areas of Chicago, and they need to work out kinks that include sidewalk clutter, 192 injuries reported by Chicago hospitals, and 39 citations issued to 9 participating companies. And they're also saying that mandatory helmets could be part of the mix. Electric scooters were used most frequently during the evening rush period on weekdays and between 3 and 4 p.m. on weekends. So we might be seeing them around Chicago. I know here and also in other cities, one of the big problems was people sort of leaving them everywhere. They kind of, I know in Los Angeles they had a big problem where people were leaving the scooters in the middle of the street, and so they had to work that out. Anybody here use a scooter?
Never got on one.
No.
But I saw them in people's yards.
Yeah.
And were just left there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I know. That's why there's another test period that's coming up. By the way, Mary, you got a text here about walnuts. I think your fans, your traffic fans, are urging you to get some. Costco, says the texter from 630, Costco has the best walnuts. I'm single. I keep a huge bag in my freezer and a small container in the fridge. I break them into my yogurt almost every day. Now I don't want yogurt without the crunch anymore.
That's so funny. I was just responding to this texter when you brought that up. But I'm telling her that I use Kashi cereal in my granola. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm sorry, in my yogurt to make it crunchy.
Walnuts, according to this new study, they can help improve your mood. They can also lower triglyceride levels, reduce plaque in the arteries. And in this Journal of Nutrition study, they say eating 3 ounces of walnuts a day, that's all, along with a healthy diet, promotes positive gut health changes and reduces the risk of heart disease in obese adults. And as far as weight management is concerned, according to studies, eating a few walnuts, about 4 to 6 halves before meals, decreases your level of hunger and may cause you to eat less later in the day.
Gee, anything else? Maybe it can cure cancer, too.
Yeah, well, I know.
Walnut a day keeps cancer away.
Too good to be true, yeah. Right? It's 7:13. We'll get some extremely local news from Block Club Chicago next.
A new suburban mayor promised to clean up crime and corruption, but some changes are creating tension. WGN-TV investigates Thursday at 9.
It is 7:18, and here's Seamus Toomey, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Block Club Chicago, with some neighborhood news for us. Good morning, Seamus. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk first about Old Cook County Hospital and what's happening there.
I love this story. We're a sucker for great preservation stories, and this rehab of the old Cook County Hospital is one of the top ones going on in Chicago. You know, anyone familiar with that area at all can picture this hulking Beaux-Art building that's just been sitting there vacant for 20 years. It was a mess before it closed. It just lots of fallen into disrepair, but they've been working on this now for the last couple years. It's a $1 billion project with the rehab of the building, as well as some new buildings that are going to go up around it. And we got a tour of it. Our reporter, Mauricio Pena, was given a tour of it a couple days ago, and it's really coming along. They hope to open up what used to be the old hospital in May. It's going to be hotels. It's going to be medical space. They're going to build some apartments next door. So it's really coming along. You know, right now I saw a lot of drywall and patching and a lot of work to get done by May, but so far so good. People are going to be working there, and they're really hoping it's going to give a boost to the neighborhood.
And this is West Harrison Street we're talking about, right? And a Hyatt Hotel going in?
Right. The Hyatt Hotel, there's two different Hyatt brands that are going to be within this structure itself. So, you know, you could go over there and you know, stay, hotel stay in the old hospital. That kind of freaks me out to think about it, to be honest with you. But I'm a little skittish on that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then, was it ER? I mean, the building has been on various television shows, hasn't it?
Yeah. You know, it was the backdrop for ER, for the George Clooney show. And, you know, it's one of those buildings that looks like it's 4,000 years old.
Exactly.
And they said they just had a ton of facade work to do on it. 4,000 individual pieces of terracotta had to be taken down and cleaned and replaced. The entire inside of it was gutted. The only thing that they've left, and I found this fascinating, was the surgical auditoriums, the ones where, you know, the doctors are at the bottom with the patient, and there's hundreds of doctoral students watching
it. Ready to toss a junior mint down.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's a $1 billion renovation, and we're going to get another food hall out of this too, aren't we?
Right, you can't get enough food halls, especially in the on the West Loop and the West Side over there. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they'll hopefully they'll put a Budlong chicken in it, which is my favorite thing at any, yeah. at any food hall.
All right, we'll get you that. Are you a Popeyes guy now? Are you getting the chicken sandwich at Popeyes that everybody's lined up for?
I am. There's one near my house that apparently no one knows about and never sells out. So my son and I go there, and it's worth the hype.
I did have one, and I must say it's a very juicy, spiced up chicken sandwich.
I'm not sure how they do it.
Yeah, well, we don't want to know. Let's talk about Old St. Pat's, the world's largest block party. They were doing it for like 35 years, and they're not going to do it anymore. Now, a lot of people met their future spouse at this affair, didn't they?
It really turned into just a massive two-day party over there on Desplaines and Adams. Jack Wall had started it, and it really, they talked about how it helped fund that church for like the last 35 years or so. And as that neighborhood has really come around, that church has just boomed. Their congregation is swelling. They've added to the church and worked on the school there. But they said with all the competitive other events happening around in the neighborhood and the sort of the changing of the neighborhood, they're going to scale back this massive two-day summer party. And they're just going to make it a spring party right around St. Patrick's Day. They're going to call it the Shamrock on the Block. Doesn't quite have the same ring as the world's largest block party,
no,
in my opinion. But that's new. This year it's around March 14th. I believe they're timing it for the same day as the downtown St. Patrick's Day. So
they had moved it to the University of Illinois Chicago campus, and then they moved it back to its original location in the West Loop. So they must have been thinking about ending this for a while now, right?
I think so. It's a massive undertaking, and like you said, a lot of people have met their future spouses there, and then probably turned around and gotten married at Old St. Pat's as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's it was a lot of fun, but it's run its course, and now it's going to add to the craziness that is the Saturday of the St. Patrick's Day downtown.
Right, and as they said when they announced this, there's a lot going on in Chicago, and so I think we'll have enough to do without this party. Let's talk about what's happening in Logan Square. The Red Church. What's the Red Church?
The Red Church is, if you can picture in the heart of Lincoln Square where that traffic circle is, the very confusing traffic circle that still befuddles me every time, there's a big red stone church. It's the Norwegian Lutheran Memorial Church, better known as the Mini Kirken, and it's been there for 108 years with virtually zero renovations or rehabs of it for this whole time. They did some renovation work of the stained glass windows in the last couple of years, but they're really getting a push now to rehab the facade of it, because they have two huge construction projects that are going to be happening right next door. They're going to fix the roundabout there. They're going to put in bike paths and change it. They haven't really decided how they're going to do it yet. There's going to be an enormous hotel going up nearby, and they're really worried that all this earth shaking and earth moving and all the construction work is going to start hurting the church to the point where, who knows? They're saying, don't worry, nothing's going to fall on you now, but if we don't do a renovation of the exterior, we're a little worried what's going to happen in the next couple years. So they launched a big fundraiser just this week. They're looking to raise $550,000 or so. Some of that money they hope to get from a city grant as well. So it's nowhere like the Cook County Hospital rehab that we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. This one is pretty modest in the fact that they just want to get shore up a lot of the masonry and some of the windows. But it's a beautiful church. It's really sort of the landmark of that roundabout, other than the Centennial Memorial in the middle of it.
That's Kedzie and Logan, isn't it?
It's Kedzie and Logan and Milwaukee. They all meet there. I think the exact address is 2614 North Kedzie. It's unmistakable when you see it.
Yeah, not far from that CTA station there.
Exactly, just across the street.
And in Englewood, you've got an interesting story on Block Club Chicago. Talk about this new documentary.
There's a woman in Englewood in Auburn-Gresham area we've been following very closely over the past 5 years or so because she's fascinating. Her name's Tamar Manasseh. She started the group called Mothers Against Senseless Killings. Also, we've referred to it as the Army of Moms. They're the ones who have been sitting out at the corner of 75th and Stewart for about 5 years now to have a just a human presence on the corner for just to keep it safe. You know, if these moms are out here, you know, the trouble's going to should go elsewhere. Tamar's story caught the eye of a New York filmmaker who was fascinated not only with her work, but that the fact that this was a black Jewish woman doing this. So he's been following her now for 18 months, working on a documentary just about not only her work in Chicago, but how she got to this point, what motivates her. And it just debuted last week in New York at the New York Jewish Film Festival, and it's called They Ain't Ready for Me. It's the story of Tamar Manasseh. They don't have a distributor yet, but they're working on it now, hoping to get some buzz out of the film festival. I can tell you the Lincoln Center was sold out for the performance of this, so it was very well received, and you know, really some great national spotlight for a very fascinating Chicago woman.
There's your extremely local news, courtesy of Block Club Chicago. Seamus Toomey, by the way, where do you stand on the e-scooters? There's going to be another test of the e-scooters, and I guess they did a little survey in the city. 86% of those who had ridden a scooter said they want them to remain part of the Chicago landscape. 21% of those who had not taken a ride agreed. And they haven't made a decision on where or when the next pilot program will take place or how many companies will be invited to participate, but they're gonna test them again.
I have two opinions on this. One is that every town I've gone to outside of Chicago that has these is they're everywhere. You're hopping over them. They're kind of a
mess.
That's
the problem.
And my other thing is I'm 100% sure the first time I use one, I will land flat on my face.
Yeah. So, well, I'm thinking of making the helmets mandatory.
Yeah, that doesn't help if I land on my face. But I'm all for finding easier ways to get around, and hopefully they perfect it so they're not, you know, you're not tripping over these like you are in Nashville and, you know, everywhere
in
else.
LA.
I've seen them in LA.
Yeah. Let's hope. Seamus Toomey. All right, thanks, Seamus. We'll check in with you folks tomorrow again. It's 7:28 right now. Hey, this spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona. One lucky fan wins a trip for two to Phoenix. This could be you. You get airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series game. It's March 13th, and if you want to get in on this, you can register at WGNradio.com/contests, the Wintrust Crosstown Series Arizona Fan Flyaway. Look for the information on our website, WGNradio.com/contests. Coming up in about 20 minutes or less, we'll talk to Terry Savage, and we'll get her take on what the Fed is likely to do, and also some things to know before the stock market opens, or right at the opening today. We'll get to Terry and financial news. And I heard something, Steve, in the newsroom that I definitely need to follow up on. What was the fast food breaking news you had?
The chicken breaking news from McDonald's. McDonald's has been testing two new sandwiches, and I believe they were being tested in the South, perhaps in Texas and some, maybe Missouri, but this is now, they've expanded this nationwide, at least for a limited time, the new chicken McGriddles and the McChicken biscuit sandwich. Can be bought now nationwide at McDonald's stores.
Okay. All right. We need to know these things. So far, let's see. I like the Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'm into that. I used to be hooked on the Burger King chicken sandwich, but now I confess I had the Popeyes chicken sandwich, so I may have to expand my diet a little bit.
So I know somebody who's had the Chicken McGriddle, and they love it. It's kind of that sweet, savory kind of feel. It almost tastes like, they said it tasted like almost like French toast, almost the McGriddle with the chicken on it, sort of like chicken and waffles sort of thing.
Well, and based on what we've been talking about this morning, I may
put some walnuts on there just to be safe.
For added measure, right?
740. Thank you, Steve. And we were talking earlier about this story in the Trib today by Jamal Collier about Kobe Bryant. And Andy Mazur is here for Dave Ennett this morning. It's fascinating to read about how he almost became a Chicago Bull twice.
Yeah,
right?
A couple times. Free agency in 2004. Then, the Bulls courted him and wined and dined him a little bit. He got to meet everybody involved. And then there was the demand of a trade because he wasn't getting along with Shaq. Those guys were not playing nice together for the Lakers. And Kobe actually requested a trade, but it was Shaquille O'Neal that actually got dealt, so that trade never went through with the Bulls being involved, at least, trying to acquire him again.
And I'm reading about this this morning. They actually got to the point where Kobe Bryant and the family, they were looking at houses around here. They were looking at schools,
yeah,
weren't they?
It was serious. I mean, and I think we mentioned it before, that the relationship that Jerry Reinsdorf had with Michael Jordan was one of the big things for Kobe Bryant to see, because Jerry took care of Michael quite a bit. I mean, I know that everybody's going to say, well, he was underpaid. And rightfully he was for what he brought to the city and what he brought to the team. But the last couple of years, he made around $70 million in contracts with the Bulls, and he was making much more than that with Nike and Gatorade and other things that he endorsed. So I think that was a big thing for Kobe Bryant to see that the owner was on board and would take care of a superstar.
John Paxson quoted in this article saying that he never got to form much of a personal relationship with Kobe, but several people within the Bulls organization were impacted by him in some way. And there was something about the Bulls that kept tempting Bryant, even though it apparently was never meant to be. Paxson says his last game here, he was coming from working out or lifting before the game. I caught his eye and said hello to him. He came over and gave me a hug, and he remembered our meeting. So almost a Chicago Bull.
Almost.
Let's check in with financial expert Terry Savage. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Let's talk.
I think it's going to be a good morning.
Yeah, let's talk about the market. The futures look good, correct?
Yes, it looks like we're going to have a positive day. We're coming back from those fears of the virus and what that would do not only to travel but to the earnings of companies like luxury goods, the Louis Vuitton type things that travelers from China are always interested in buying. So it kind of spread throughout the market pretty quickly.
And what about the Fed? Their two-day meeting ends today. What news will come out of that, do you think?
Nothing.
Nothing, okay.
Nothing. The Fed has promised that it's not going to do anything and leave things alone for a while, and they're desperately trying not to do anything and hoping that everything will remain status quo. They've already pouring money into the liquidity, let me put that, into the system, because there was a real freeze-up last fall in a very technical area of bank refinancing, overnight financing. So the Fed is just hoping that we'll make it through the tax season with plenty of liquidity, but without too much inflation, and so far they're getting their wish.
And they released their policy statement later this afternoon. So as far as the Dow is concerned, quarterly results are being reported. Apple reporting a much better than expected quarter. So you're optimistic for the next few months, aren't you?
I don't think of the market in terms of months. Okay, and I know everybody forecasts in terms of months, so could it go 1,000 points higher? I think of the market in terms of, what am I there for? I'm there for growth that beats inflation historically. I want that over the long run. And we all have the long run, please God. So especially those who are saving for retirement and they're much younger, there's never been an opportunity like the stock market, even at these levels. I mean, I remember thinking the market was high when it broke above 1,000, and I was there. And 10,000, I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I never thought I'd live to see this. So now we're around 30,000, and that won't be surprising either. But on the other hand, I keep reminding people that, yes, you'll live 20 years in retirement if you retire at Social Security's full retirement age, but a bear market can do a lot of damage, and it can really, it can go right to your heart. So you need a little liquidity when you get older. That's the only way I think of the market, not where it's going to go.
Yeah, here's how
it's going to impact me.
Here's how I think of the market. You don't make money until and unless you sell. You don't lose money until and unless you sell. That's how I look at it.
That's been very good. But the point is, if you when you get to the moment where this is it, you know, think of this. Institutional money managers, pension funds, and mutual fund managers, they think of the market as kind of a flow, a river, and it goes into different tributaries. Maybe it's growth stocks, maybe it's, you know, small cap stocks, whatever it is. But that river is always flowing because people are always putting more money into those mutual funds pretty much, or certainly into pension funds, and their job is just to manage it appropriately. At the other end, people are taking money out as they retire, but the thing is, there's always a flow. When it's your money and it's your 401k, it's not a river flowing. It's a pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's your pool, and you can see the water level go up and down. And it's hard to be calm and patient like the people managing the flowing river when you see your pool, you know, settling down toward the drain. So that's why you have to understand you have a different approach than professional money managers who can afford to say, yeah, this is a long process. It's not a long process when you're 67 and you retired and you had an amazing bull market and you've got $482,000 now. It should work out for you, but not if you see a 30 or 40% decline.
Terry Savage on the phone with us here at 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. Terry, let's talk about the two big news stories of the day and how you think they will affect markets. First, the coronavirus and what's happening in China, and now the airlines canceling flights and so forth. What's next, do you think?
Well, we had a preview of that in about 2000 with the SARS epidemic. And we know it slowed down a lot of things. I was amazed the first week when they allowed planes from Wuhan, China, or travelers, I should say, that had originated in Wuhan, China, to walk through O'Hare, and they were looking for signs of someone coughing. And that was the most idiotic thing I've ever seen. We know the virus has a two-week incubation period. So I hope it's not too late to contain this. And I really hope that the reports that Australians have isolated the virus and therefore could come up with a vaccine against it, that will be critical. Modern science will save us more than the government movements to isolate travelers after they've been here for a while.
Now, I've always heard that the markets don't like periods of time where there is indecision. You don't know who's going to be the president. And now with the impeachment trial and the election coming in November, is this a time normally that you'd see markets kind of retreat until we know what's going on, we know who's going to be elected and so forth, we know how the impeachment trial is going to end?
Well, actually, the third year of a presidential election cycle is an excellent one, and the fourth year, historically, is an even better one. And that doesn't have to do with whether the current president's going to be reelected. So, actually, history says that this should be a good time for the stock markets. And, you know, we in the journalism, we follow everything that's going on. There are a lot of people, almost half the people or about half the people in the country, who think they know exactly what's going to happen, that the president will be reelected. So the uncertainty that you and I see because of this impeachment absolutely shouldn't be the one thing that impacts the market. I was just looking while I was talking to you online. The stock market performance in presidential election years, it's part of the Stock Traders Almanac, which is a really great website. And the fact is that the fourth year is always a pretty good year. So
there you go. And also, I meant to ask you about this. Is there a change in when you have to take retirement money, when you have to go into your IRA? It used to be 70,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Look, right, exactly. So you're going to get in under the wire, pal. The fact is that it used to be, and there's a lot of confusion about this. This was a year-end change in something called the Secure Act that dealt with some retirement issues. It dealt with two issues. The first issue was you used to have to take your first required minimum distribution from your IRA. 401k should probably be rolled into an IRA. In the year in which you turned 70 and a half, you actually had till April 1st of the following year. So Now, if you turn 70 and a half this year in 2020, you can wait until, or if you turn 70 this year in 2020, you can wait until 72 to make that first required withdrawal. That's gotten a lot of notice because 70 and a half is always very odd, and your mutual fund company or brokerage firm would send you a reminder that this would be the year you have to take an RMD. The bigger change, and the one that has more impact on savers, is it used to be that if you had been a great saver, you had your 401k, you matched it, now you have a huge account, and if you die before you take all the money out, you would put your son, daughter, whoever it would be, heir, name as the beneficiary, the heir. And if you named someone younger, like your adult child, they had their whole lifetime to be withdrawing the money and therefore could grow tax-free. Now it all has to be taken out by the end of the 10th year after your death. So presuming you don't spend all the money during your lifetime, a lot of wealthy people had IRAs they wanted to pass on for generations. Now the government won't let you do that anymore. They want their money. Bob, we have a $1 trillion deficit. They're coming after you. Illinois is coming after you. The tax people are coming after you. No one's getting away with it.
See, this is why I love talking to Terry Savage. You can throw anything at her. She's an expert on all matters financial. And then and I don't have to go hire some sort of personal financial advisor. I can just book Terry on the show here and take care of it right here.
Love it, Bob, anytime.
All right, we'll check in with you again next week. Terry Savage.
Absolutely.
Always good talking to you, Terry. Thank you. Coming attractions here. We will check in with Jared Payton, who's at the Super Bowl in Miami for WGN-TV. We'll find out what's going on over there. Dean Richards has a day off, but after 8 o'clock, we'll get all of the showbiz news from Entertainment Tonight. That's on the way. And I always forget to do this from time to time, so I will remind you that if you want to get in touch with us ever, phone number and text number is the same, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we have a new email set up for us here, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Not Bob's show. It's just one BS in the middle of that. bobshow@wgnradio.com. A little more about the NBA All-Star Weekend. Chicago Magazine and Grace Perry has a nice preview piece on this. First time Chicago has hosted the game since 1988. Back then it was at the old Chicago Stadium. Now, of course, the United Center. Festivities kick off Friday, February 14th at Wintrust Arena with a celebrity match. Then over to the United Center for the Rising Stars game. Saturday night, the Skills Challenge, a three-point and slam dunk contest. And then the All-Star game on Sunday. Tickets to the Saturday and Sunday events cost well over a grand. Andy, check with Dave Annett. You'll get a loan
definitely
to cover that.
A loan that I will not be paying back.
For the Rising Stars game, tickets start at $65, and that usually does not sell out. So there's an idea. ESPN and TNT will be covering all of this. And then there's a big deal over at Navy Pier. NBA crossover with a lot of basketball folks and show business folks mingling, and there's a $20 all-day admission for that.
So, that sounds like fun.
For the working men and women.
Yes.
$20. That'll work for us. Welcome to another gray day in Chicago. Wednesday, January 29. Bob Surratt with you at 8:11. A couple of interesting health studies in the news today, both involving stress. It's not your imagination that traffic mess is giving you gray hair. So are other things stressful. A professor of stem cell and regenerative biology at Harvard University and the Harvard Stem Cell Institute took a look at why we get gray hair, and they have figured out the biological reason for the first time why stress saps the pigment out of hair. And apparently it has to do with your sympathetic nervous system. The cells that are targeted by the system under stress are a group of color-generating stem cells found deep in the so-called bulge of the hair follicle, from which all hair grows. And what they found is even during normal stress, not the fight or flight kind, there is this connection between stress and the nervous system and pigment-producing cells. So take a vacation, and maybe your hair will once again turn black. And talking about stress, there's another study today, a survey of 7,000 women found on average they rate their levels of stress at a worryingly high 8.5 out of 10. 46% of the women say their husbands add more stress to their day-to-day lives than the children they care for.
Yes.
Mary with a thumbs up in the traffic center. The constant demands of parenting can put a real strain on moms and dads, says the research here. But a study has found husbands cause a higher level of stress in their wives than their offspring. Do we get equal time here? Can somebody do a study that will
go ahead,
say
Bob.
Something nice about us? I'm going to conduct a
try
study
to dispute
on that.
It. Yeah.
Dean Richards is off today, but from Entertainment Tonight, we have Cassie DeLora on with us this morning. Cassie, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Saw the show last night, and a lot of interesting stories regarding Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. and I know you have some information on the family and what's going on and how they are doing.
Yeah, you know, obviously it's a very tough week in news for all of us, and we continue to pray, and our hearts go out to Vanessa and the entire family. And we actually just got new reporting in about Vanessa Bryant, you know, feeling almost numb to everything. A source who is friends with the Bryant family tells ET that Vanessa is completely shocked and heartbroken, but obviously is trying to stay as strong as she can in front of her children. The source continues to add that she has been surrounded by her family and friends, but she feels almost numb to everything. But she is thankful for the outpouring of love her and her family have received during this time, and will respond when she's ready. And of course, like I said, you know, the world is mourning the loss of Kobe and his daughter and all of those who were on the helicopter as well, and our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody. Obviously, this is an ongoing investigation right now, so there is no cause of the crash still. In fact, the National Transportation Safety Board and the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, they've held two press conferences so far this week, one on Monday and then a final one on Tuesday to give updates. And we've learned that all the bodies have been recovered from the crash site, and the coroners so far have identified four of the victims, which do include the pilot, Kobe Bryant, John Altobelli, and Sarah Chester. They are still working on identifying the remaining five victims, but those are kind of the updates that we have so far from the press conference yesterday. We have learned that there is not going to be another press conference. So what is next is what investigators will do. They will provide a preliminary report in 10 days. That's the National Transportation Safety Board, and then a full report in 12 to 18 months. So we may not know the cause of the helicopter crash for a good year.
I'm watching Entertainment Tonight last night. I was reminded of the book Kobe Bryant wrote about life lessons and parenting and so forth. I would imagine they're going to come out with that book again, because I know I want a copy. Have you heard anything about that?
We have not, but there are a lot of things in motion right now to honor Kobe, and that could be one way. I mean, another way, ET has learned that the Academy for the Oscars, they're going to honor him at the ceremony on February 9th. Obviously, he, of course, is an Oscar winner. He won the Best Animated Short back in 2018 for Dear Basketball, which he, of course, wrote to pay homage to his love for the game. So they're going to honor him there, which is so sweet. And then, of course, I'm sure you've seen on social media and on all the late night shows, everyone continuing to pay tribute to Kobe and his daughter, and of course, all the others that were on the helicopter as well.
What else are you folks out there in Hollywood covering for today?
You know, obviously, a lot of the news is heavily is heavily Kobe this week, but there are other news stories coming out of Hollywood and even in Miami, of course. The Super Bowl is this weekend, so everyone is getting ready for that. Our crew is down there in Miami holding fort. We have a lot of exciting things coming up this week there. Of course, all of the pre-show events that are happening. I mean, the chain smokers are kicking off things with a free exclusive show in Miami. That is today. Lizzo's going to perform. So E.T. will be on the grounds there covering everything and anything for the big game. And, of course, we're going to have coverage on E.T. Live on Sunday. We're going to have a live show right after the Super Bowl highlighting the biggest moments. Of course, everyone's very excited to see Shakira and J-Lo take the stage. So that is something that everyone is talking about this week. And another story that actually is getting everyone's attention this morning, which is crazy. I woke up to this news. Nikki and Brie Bella from Total Bellas. Are you familiar with them? They are both pregnant and expecting within 2 weeks of each other, which is crazy. They're sisters, so this is, I feel like, really special for them. But they both announced the news this morning. They are due a week and a half apart, and of course Brie shares 2-year-old daughter Birdie with her husband Daniel Bryan, but this is going to be the first child for Nikki, and this has been an amazing year for her. She just got engaged recently to Dancing with the Stars pro Artem, and now they've got a baby on the way, which is really exciting for them to share this moment together as sisters.
I'm not familiar with those people, but then again, I haven't been watching the PBS NewsHour lately, so I guess I missed that.
You're not watching Total Bellas?
No.
Or Total Divas?
What else can you tell us about the Super Bowl halftime show and what we can expect to see?
You know, I feel like J-Lo is going to bring it because she has been rehearsing almost every single day. We see that on her social media, and it's so cute. A-Rod posts all these different Instagrams supporting her and whatnot. But, I anticipate a lot of girl power, obviously, you know, having two powerhouse women in the industry take that stage, J-Lo and Shakira. It's going to be really special. And then, of course, we're anticipating a lot of halftime guests. Who will they bring up? There's been names thrown around like Mark Anthony, which could be really cool. Obviously, Miami and Shakira and J-Lo and the Latin presence, that would be really special. We just had Gloria Estefan host Entertainment Tonight yesterday from Miami. I really would love to see her get up on this stage. I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe Pitbull or DJ Khaled or, like I said, Mark Anthony. There's a lot of names thrown around that could possibly be a surprise, but I don't think anything's going to come out beforehand. I think it will 100% be a surprise, which is actually what Gloria Estefan told ET during her time co-hosting with us, that there are going to be surprises, but she wouldn't spill the tea. She wouldn't tell us.
Well, I've got a tip for you. Now, this isn't about the Super Bowl, but not too far from us, Woodstock, Illinois, where they filmed the 1993 comedy Groundhog Day. Bill Murray was spotted there with a couple of the actors who were in that film, and the word is they're shooting a Jeep commercial that will air during the Super Bowl. Of course, the Super Bowl is on Groundhog Day, so you might see Bill Murray and a little Groundhog Day shtick on the Super Bowl. You can go with that tonight on Entertainment Tonight if you want.
I was going to say thank you for the tip. We should we should hire you.
Just follow up on that.
For sure. I mean, that is one of the best parts of the Super Bowl, too, right, is all the halftime, not the halftime performance, the commercials throughout the whole show.
Yeah, what is it, like $5 million for 30 seconds or 60 seconds? I forget what it was, but
an insane
30
amount
seconds,
of money, yes.
30 seconds, yeah, yes. For $5 million. And we're going to start, we're seeing those already. Those companies get their money's worth because it plays in the Super Bowl, but also the week before. It runs. Mm-hmm. They're in newspaper stories. So I guess it's worth it for them, isn't it?
Oh, totally. And then, of course, if you have a really great commercial, everyone's talking about it on social media, which I feel like is definitely a target for, you know, these companies as well. As if we can get people to talk about it on social media, we've done a good job. You know, we got to get it trending on the Twitter.
There you go. And is it an official Entertainment Report if you don't mention something about Justin Bieber?
It is not a day at ET if we do not talk about the Biebs.
Yeah.
So Justin is making headlines this week because he's got a lot going on right now with his new music, which is amazing. He appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show and actually opened up about why he was nervous to propose to Hailey Bieber, which I feel like is pretty relatable for a lot of young ones out there, a lot of 25-year-olds, you know, who are thinking about marriage. He actually told Ellen that he was nervous about the commitment because, you know, when you are committing to someone, it is for better or for worse. There's faithfulness involved, and he was nervous about all of that. But obviously, as we know, he finally decided to just commit and do it. You know, obviously the two married back in 2018 in a New York City courthouse, and then they got married in South Carolina this past fall in a very intimate ceremony with their family and friends. So he obviously decided to take the plunge and do it, and life seems to be working out for him pretty well. He announced his fifth studio album, Changes, will be coming out on Valentine's Day. I mean, obviously, I feel like Hailey inspiring a lot of that. Maybe even the title, Changes. There's been a lot of change going on in his life. And, of course, dropping on Valentine's Day, the symbolism of that and his love for his now wife, you know. So he's got a lot going on, like I said, with music. And then also he is touring now. He is going to kick off the Changes tour in North America on May 14th. And that is crazy because this is the first tour that he's had since his Purpose tour, which ended abruptly back in 2017. They never actually finished that one. So he's back, and I would say better than ever. He's got a YouTube docuseries. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, it just came out. It's called Justin Bieber Seasons, and the Biebs is back.
You know what, that original documentary that came out some years ago about Justin Bieber and his manager, what's his name, Scooter Braun.
Yeah,
it was really quite an interesting film, and I know you can mm-hmm. still see it somewhere, but it was very interesting, the sort of behind the scenes about how mm-hmm. they built his career, wasn't it?
Right. And I think now, too, a lot of fans want to get an insight into just behind the scenes of his life right now, because he has been through a lot within recent years, and his come up and his comeback, I feel like, has been really awesome to see, especially because he is someone that we've covered for years, his ups and his downs. And right now he's a man of faith, and we see him often, you know, going to church and whatnot. And I feel like that is at the root of his marriage to Hailey. And he's finally found someone after some failed relationships. He's finally found someone that just is his match on all different levels. And I feel like, you know, this docuseries provides a little bit insight, a little mm-hmm. bit more insight into his mindset now and who he is and who he has grown into.
Right.
Because we watched him grow up, you know. We watched him pee in a bucket and do all of that and make all those mistakes. And now here he is.
There you go. It's an official Entertainment Report. We mentioned the Bieb. It's Entertainment Tonight, weeknight 6:30, CBS 2. Thanks, Cassie DeLora. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Well, one of the top subjects here with the morning show folks, of course, is sleep and the lack of sleep. Andy and I were just talking about that in here. And I came across this interesting article recently about, you know, they say every individual is different. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine, a neurologist recently, who was a pretty good friend, or actually acquaintance, of Bill Veeck. And Bill Veeck lived to be a ripe old age, very productive, of course, very creative guy. He got like 3 to 4 hours sleep a night. That was all he needed. So how much sleep do you need? The experts say you should try a sleep vacation. Now, to do this, you need 2 weeks when you don't have to be somewhere at a specific time in the morning. So I can't wait to ask the boss for a sleep vacation. If you have a flexible job, you can do this anytime, but most of us have to wait until a vacation. So what you do, here's the experiment. It requires a little discipline. You pick the same bedtime every night. You turn off your alarm. You record the time you wake up. Chances are you'll sleep longer during the first few days of the experiment because you're catching up on lost sleep. So the first few days of data will not be useful. But over the course of a couple of weeks, if you stick to the scheduled bedtime and allow yourself to wake up naturally, you'll begin to see a pattern emerge of how many hours of sleep your body really needs each night. Once you determine your natural sleep needs, think about the time you need to wake up to get to work or school on time, and then pick a bedtime that allows you enough sleep to wake up naturally. Easier said than done, huh?
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm complaining, but, I can never go to bed at the same time because there's a game on that I have to watch or there's a game I'm at, and, you never know when they're going to end, first of all, when you're going to get home, how much work you have to do surrounding the game, but... I'm not complaining about that, but it's hard to do the sleep vacation.
Yeah, it is.
Every day is different.
Yeah, and they say the most important thing, and this is something we all struggle with, is to have a routine and not get too far out of it on the weekend either, but do the same thing at the same time every day. Your body likes that. Your brain likes that. Right?
Yeah, I was telling you, because, I fill in for Dave every once in a while here. You easily get off of the routine of getting up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and when you do it for the first time in a while, you get a little nervous sometimes.
It makes me think about especially ball players. Andy, you travel with the Cubs, and ball players, and that's a long season. It's quite a grind. So you get your jet lag, then you get day games and night games.
Right.
And how do they deal with that? How do they adjust? Do they have experts on each team that people who advise them on jet lag remedies and so forth?
I think they have youth on their side is what they really
have. That's true. helps.
That's part of the thing. But you're absolutely right. Because you're on these planes and you get treated very well, but you're still logging the miles. You're still playing the games. You're still getting done with one game at 10:30 p.m. and have to be back at the ballpark at 10:30 in the morning.
And you're traveling different time zones, right?
Across different zones all the time. I do marvel at it. And, when people talk about the baseball season, try traveling it. And let us know if you think that these guys are dogging it.
Yeah. No, I never think they're dogging it. Yeah, and you got to be excited about what is happening on the South Side here and the White Sox prospects.
I'll tell you what, Sox Fest was packed on Saturday. I was out there hosting a couple of the panels, one on the big stage with Frank Thomas and Ozzie Guillen, and there's a lot of excitement, even from the former players who saw what Rick Hahn was able to accomplish. But I love what Rick Hahn said a day before White Sox Fest began. He said, listen, we haven't won anything yet.
Right.
And I understand we won the off season here, maybe, but that's not what you get a ring for.
No, and you have to be a little lucky too, and you have to be injury
free. Right?
Yeah, a lot of factors go into it. One of the great things about being here on the radio is you can just press a button, and it's Jarrett Payton in Miami for WGN TV. Good morning, Jarrett.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Listen, while you're in Miami, if you want to know all the great Cuban restaurants and spots that most tourists don't know about, just call Marianne, and she'll take care of you.
Okay, I'm cool with that. Honestly, I'm being honest. I haven't had time to eat that much, man. I've been running around anytime. This is the busiest I've ever been at Super Bowl, but I'm enjoying it. I'm back in my old stomping grounds, and I'm looking forward to a really, really good game on Sunday.
There are so many Chicago connections and Chicago stories, and Robbie Gould, you got Matt Nagy with connections to players in the Super Bowl. Lots of stories involving us here in Chicago, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it was cool on opening night to kind of see all the guys come out on stage and then do interviews. And I think for a lot of Chicago fans, the connection with Robbie Gould is probably the biggest one of knowing what this would mean to him to win this with the 49ers. And the last time, he was in the Super Bowl, it was here in Miami where they lost to the Colts. And so for him to kind of exercise the demons and figure out a way to be able to get a championship, that would be a big one. And just to see the Chicago media surrounding him doing interviews at media night was a pretty cool scene to kind of see everybody flock to Robbie, even though he's not in Chicago anymore.
JP, let's talk about this quarterbacking matchup because for obvious reasons, there's a lot of interest in Chicago because Mahomes, Trubisky, you've got Garoppolo, the local product. How do you see this shaking out? Because both of these guys have put up tremendous seasons.
Yeah, you know, they have, Andy. It's amazing to see what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do in such a short period of time. And, you know, this is his – it's his league now, man. He's kind of like the face. It's amazing when you see those commercials with him and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's – it's like they're grooming him to be the next guy. And with, you know, the quarterbacks of old kind of fading out, as you see these older quarterbacks we're accustomed to, he is the face of the new wave. And I love the way that he is able to kind of will his team to win. It doesn't matter how many touchdowns they're down by. He finds a way to kind of get this offense going. It runs through him. And he's so laser focused. That's what I love. And Jimmy Garoppolo has just been steady. And that's what you want out of a quarterback, especially in a team like 49ers that can run the football. They've been really balanced. And they've shown that they could be balanced. And they can win games throughout the regular season. And both these teams, when you get to the playoffs, you got to be able to play big games. They've done that. And that's the reason why both teams are here representing their conferences in the Super Bowl.
And Patrick Mahomes had some nice things to say about Matt Nagy, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things when you see the relationship between those two and, you know, what Matt Nagy meant to kind of being around him and understanding him and help grooming him for the Andy Reid system. Yeah, I mean, the relationship is there. And it's kind of funny to see how this KC offense runs. It's pretty much of what the Bears are hoping for the future. They just got to figure out they have some of the pieces, not all of the pieces. Definitely need a tight end. They don't have a tight end like Travis Kelce. And I think everybody's just waiting on to see if Mitchell Trubisky can step his game up to be that guy to run that Andy Reid scheme that Matt Nagy has implemented being coach in Chicago.
All right, we mentioned Andy Reid, and obviously he is there for the first time in a number of years. I think it's 16 years the last time he was there. 221 coaching victories. Looking at that, including the playoffs, he has the most coaching victories of any coach that hasn't won the big game. I mean, you think he's set up at this point, and he's kind of easy to root for, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, Andy. I mean, for me, that's what I'm hoping for. LeSean McCoy said it the night of opening night about how when I asked him, like, what would this mean to win this one for Andy, and, like, he turned and looked and just had a smile on his face. This is what he's like, man, we want to win this one bad for him because we know what it means. And, yeah, when you look at that resume that you were just talking about, it only makes sense. It's only right for Andy Reid to be able to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. He deserves it. It's not going to be easy, but definitely right now has a team that's playing good on both sides of the ball, especially Kansas City's defense in that AFC Championship game, being able to stop that Titans run that was just so dominant in the playoffs leading up to the AFC Championship game. If they have one more game in them, it might give them a good opportunity to be able to win a championship.
Jared, are you going to be interviewing each other now? Are all the sportscasters and TV and radio people just going to start interviewing one another now, starting today?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing that on WGNTV.com, or a big game bound show that I'm doing with Jack Doles out of Grand Rapids. We're streaming live on at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock Eastern time, and we've been doing that, interviewing everybody, and then also too, just walking around Radio Row and seeing everybody. In the next couple days, like tomorrow and Friday, we'll start seeing bigger stars walk through there, and just shaking hands with some of these guys and talking with them, old football players that, you know, I grew up watching. It's an honor. And listening to a lot of these guys tell me stories about my dad is kind of cool as well, too, now being I don't want to say how old I am, but yeah, it's getting cool now.
Yeah, nice.
Let's see if we can do the math. It was 34 years ago, and you were okay. I won't bust you, but I do want to put you on the spot because I want to find out who you think is going to win this game and what the difference is going to be.
Well, I'm sticking to when I got on the plane to head to Miami. I was feeling like Vegas. I think it's going to be a close game, but then I also look at. I look at Kansas City. I feel like even though the 49ers are the most balanced on both sides on offense and defense, I still feel there's the Mahomes factor, and I just think he is the best player on the football field, and you're at his mercy right now. And when a guy's playing at this high of level, you just got to sit back and you got to enjoy it and trying to just sit for the moment. I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a kid that's locked in, that knows after winning the MVP last year and missing an opportunity to be in the Super Bowl, that his hunger and drive is just too much. He's going to will his team to win. And I don't know. I mean, you have tight ends on both sides of the ball and that are unbelievable that I think can be kind of some X factors and game changers for how these defenses are going to have to play these offenses. So, but I'm going with Kansas City. Andy, I don't have a score yet because I haven't formulated that yet. Give me two more days. Okay. I think Kansas City's going to win.
Okay. We're talking with Jared Payton. It's almost 5-9. Jared, are you and the family excited about honoring Cam Newton?
Yeah, we are going to, you know, we're getting an opportunity to see a lot of these guys for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. I'm actually interviewing Cam. I'm also interviewing Kyle Rudolph and Malcolm Jenkins in the next couple of days for an event and sit down. But there's 32 guys, Bob, that are nominated for this award, right, that are finalists. And it's just amazing to see how the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award has grown since 99. We went in 99, it was the Rams and the Titans. And Paul Tagliabue, who was the commissioner, brought us into his box and he was like, yep, just hang out, relax, watch the game. And now it's turned into 3 days of events for this award. And my family is just truly honored to be alongside the NFL and that they wanted, Roger Goodell wanted to really make this the award that was kind of like the showstopper every single night at NFL Honors. And Nationwide jumped on as well to be the presenting sponsor. And we're lucky that it's helping keep my dad's legacy alive. And look forward to seeing who's going to take this trophy home. My mom said she had a hard time voting for who could win and to make her selection. So to me, that shows there's a lot of guys that are truly doing great things on and off the football field.
That's great. Well, listen, I want to let you go. I know you're trying to get that J-Lo exclusive interview for Channel 9, so I don't want to hold you up any longer there, Jarrett.
I'm actually looking for Shakira, so I mean, I'm hoping for Shakira. If not, I will take J-Lo. Don't worry about it.
Good luck with that. Thanks for checking in with us from Miami, Jarrett. Have a good day.
All right, take care. Bye, guys.
Well, it's about time for me to destroy all the evidence and clear out of here and make way for the John Williams Show.
You're
good
the
morning,
Marty
John.
You're the Marty Sandoval of WGN Radio.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, in that case, here's $250,000. Why don't you stick around for a while?
Okay. That sounds good.
I don't understand these people. Don't they think they're eventually going to get caught? Oh, my God, I'm already starting my show. How are you?
Hey, you're very mysterious this morning, I must say, John. Are there decoders that are being sent out so people can understand everything you're talking about?
I'm going to do it in English. By the way, did you see the picture of the Wienermobile that got pulled over in Wisconsin?
I didn't, no.
So the cop comes up to the Wienermobile and he says, you're going to finish that line for me after the news.
Ah!
A little high comedy.
Aren't you clever? All right. We're standing by
maybe
for
low
that.
Low comedy. We'll see how it goes.
Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow. John's coming right up after the news.